Psalms in a moment, but go ahead and turn to the book of Mark. First of all, turn to Mark chapter 6. I'm going to read two passages of scriptures here in this brand new series. This morning is called Honoring the Presence of God. And I want you to understand that in this series, we'll be touching on things here that shows us that God's presence really is already here among us, but God wants us to do things to honor His presence and to be able to have the benefits that God wants to bring to us from His presence. Because the Bible says, for the presence of God is, there's a fullness and a fullness of joy. And like Cheryl was saying, the joy of the Lord in the Bible is your strength. And that strength there, that word means it is actually your anointing. And I want to remind you again, the anointing is what breaks the yoke for broken people. Broken people need people with broken yokes off their lives to lay hands on them, pray for them, their yokes also be broken in Jesus' name. Okay, so I'm going to talk this morning here about what's in your hand, what's in your hand. Let's realize from scriptures here, from this message also from Mark 6 in a moment, that there's already some things God has given us by His presence that He wants us to take advantage of and start utilizing with His goodness and mercy. So Mark, so Psalm 139, starting in verse 7, it says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee or run from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed down in hell," notice this, "you are there. If I make if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you." So what it's saying here is everything that God has created, all the universe, God is there in every square inch of it all the time. And God's trying to let us realize again, we should not be controlled by circumstances, should not be controlled by darkness all around us, because God is even in the darkness, and also God is even in the night of our lives. Amen. Let's look now at Mark chapter 6. I'm going to spend the rest of the morning here on this message here, a very familiar message about the feeding of the 5,000 plus. Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 30 to 37, says this. "The apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, 'Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat.' So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves, but the multitude saw them departing, and many saw him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived there before them, and they came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things." Now this again, I'm going to stop there. A side note there again is, God loves people by sending teachings to them. So on Sunday mornings like this, in teaching times, ministry times, God's going to teach us many things, going to help us and bless our lives as well. "When the day was now far spent," it was getting late in the day, "his disciples then came to Jesus and said, 'This is a deserted place. Already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy for themselves some bread, for they have nothing to eat.'" So as they're trying to say, "Father," or "Jesus, please send us into the town to go to Starbucks and go to Einstein's Bakery and go there for some Panera bread and get ourselves some nice Ezekiel bread and some nice Starbucks coffee because we have nothing to eat." But Jesus answers back and says to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said back to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" Many times, you got to realize you are the actual answer to your own prayers. Notice that Jesus did not ask them to take and give them something to eat. He actually told them. He said, "You give them as a command something to eat." It's like our kids sometimes. We don't ask them to clean their bedrooms up. We say, "Johnny, Susie, go clean up your bedroom." Jesus Christ commanded them. He said, "You give them something to eat." I want to say right now, the presence of God will always also bring the hand of God. Whenever God's presence is evident in a service, in a people's life, in a family, or a city, you're going to always find that God's hand follows His face. That's why God says, "Seek my face." When you seek God's face, you will always get his hand automatically. Amen? You know, if my grandchildren want to take and receive my hugs and my loves and my kisses, all they got to do is seek my face. They just got to smile on my face, kiss my face, just let me see a twinkle in their eyes when they see my face. That brings in my hand automatically, and here comes the cookies, here comes the candy bars, gummy worms, whatever else there, because my hand will always follow whatever seeks my face. Amen? And God is the same way towards us. This means that if God asks us to do something, he will help us to do it. If God gives you a command to do something, that means, that equals, God will be there with his hand to help you accomplish what he asks you or tells you to do. Amen? So, God's not asking for our ability. God's asking for our obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. And God says, don't lean upon what you don't have. Realize when I give you something to do or say something to do for you to do, I will always give you my ability. I'm just asking you guys to be obedient, make the first step, make the first move, and watch me show up and be faithful with that. It's like we sometimes tell God that our limitations, my limitations are greater than your supernatural ability. How many folks know that's foolish to actually talk to God like that? Saying, my limitations, my lack is bigger than your supernatural abilities. The fact is, nothing is too hard for God, and God will show himself faithful right in the midst of our lack in our lives, okay? So what I'm saying here, the very first service is that this, we must get what I call the goat out of our lives and bring in the sheep. How many folks know that goats are real good at saying yes, but, and yes, but? God wants the but out, amen, and God wants the Abba, Abba, Father to come in. That's what sheep say, amen? We need to practice that more and more. Quit telling God, yes, but, yes, but, yes, but, and I'm saying get off that and start saying, Abba, 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 Father God, nothing is too hard for you, amen? And I want to repeat you guys a vision I had years, a couple of decades ago in South Africa doing missions work in that nation. Powerful service on a Sunday night, about 1,000 folks were there praising and worshiping God in the same church that Kim Clement goes to. And during that worship time, the Spirit of God was just so thick in the place, you could almost, what I say, cut it with a knife, it seems like. And God was moving there among us, tears going down people's eyes, as God in a special way was there, my heart as well. And I began to see all of a sudden a very, very vivid vision came to me, where I all of a sudden saw a bunch of sheep that were the body of Christ kind of huddled together in fear and just quaking and shaking in fear because all these big ferocious wolves came out of the woods and began to surround the sheep. They began to surround the sheep. I could see on the face of the wolves, they were prideful, they were arrogant, they were demonic. They had kind of their face, we've already conquered you, and look at you guys shaking with fear. But all of a sudden in this vision, I began to see a zipper appear on the back of the sheep. The zipper came undone, and big old ferocious lions came out of the sheep's clothing. When the wolves saw the lions, total terror came on their faces. Though they came in one direction, they began to flee in seven directions. And what the Spirit of God told me during worship time is God said, tell my people, they are like sheep that have gone astray in some way of their lives. But they're really lions in sheep's clothing. I will use the sheep nature of my people to draw out the powers of darkness to surround them, so I might then transform them by my power and might into the mighty lion, like a lion of Judah. And by the transforming work, they'll become more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens them. They are lions in sheep's clothing. So realize when Satan comes in like a flood, God like a flood, raise a standard against him, and Satan will flee from us when God transforms us by him showing himself strong and mighty through us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read now Mark chapter 6, moving on here, verse 38. Jesus ignores their question. How are we going to feed all these people? Just ignores that. He said back to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out how many they had, they said, we now have 5 loaves and we have 2 fish. So what Jesus said is, go among all these people. Now the theologians tell us that there was 5,000 men. That's just the men. There also were women and children also with them. There could have been up to 15,000 people there in that crowd, they said, that day. Among 15,000 people, they gather 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, find out how many folks, how much you can get here from these people. That's what they come back with. We talked about Moses also in the wilderness on Wednesday night, encountering the burning bush.
And God asked Moses, what is that in your hand? Because Moses saw the burning bush, and he heard God speak in the bush and said, you are Moses, my servant. You shall let my people go out of Egypt. They shall be delivered by your hand and by my might working through you. Moses said, well, how in the world can I do this as lowly as I am myself? And God said back to him, what? What is in your hand? And he said, take that rod, that's all you've got, your rod, take it in your hand and throw it down. It became a snake, then turned back into a rod again. And God said, by miraculous supernatural abilities working through your life, you're going to let my people go. Jesus said the same thing to the disciples. What is in your hand? What God is saying to you and I this morning in 2016 is this. If your marriage is going through a very rocky time, I told folks on Wednesday nights, you got to ask yourself, what is already in my hand? What counseling books do I have on my shelves? What CD series do I have? What can I tap into on the internet? What have I heard in past messages to bring forth strength? And what counselors do I know about who can speak into my life to bring a strong marriage back to me once again? If you have a lack in your finances, God is saying, what is in your hand? Some folks are saying, well, the need is so great here. My little $5 in the offering bucket means nothing whatsoever. God is saying to us, sow what you can sow. Give what you can give. And let me have something to work with in your hand. Bring it and give it to me, says God. I can do supernatural things with that also in your life. It may be your children going astray. Your children are going off the rails, it seems like, sometimes, some way. But I promise you, God has put in something in your hand already that may be and will be the answer to their deliverance and their turning around. Amen? You won't know what that thing is till God reveals that to you. But the good news is God will reveal to you the thing in your hand can be transformed under the power of God and bring forth tremendous breakthroughs and answers into your life. I'm praying right now in Jesus' name, God will show us what is already in our hands that can be used against the powers of darkness and be the answer to our dilemmas with God's help, okay? So the ingredients for a miracle, again, are always, always in your midst. No matter what you need for a miracle in your life right now, in your body, in your finances, your marriages, your neighborhood, your workplace, I'm telling you right now, the answer is already in your midst. It's just not being revealed to you yet. And I'm praying to God it's going to be revealed because I know the answer is already in your hand. Jesus cannot multiply what we do not recognize. I want to give you four things to write down this morning here, four things to recognize. It's already in our hands that we may not realize is in our hands. And I'm believing God to show us that small things can become much when they're placed in God's hand. Number one is this. We must recognize the seed doesn't look like much. The seed does not look like much. How many folks know we don't get excited about a pile of seeds in our hands? Okay? When we hold an apple seed in our fingers, in our hand, very small thing, it's not a very exciting thing to look at. But you got to realize you're holding an entire apple tree with full-blown apples in your fingers when you hold one seed in your hand, potentially. And God is saying, the seed I give you and the seed you have may not seem like much right now, but I can make it to become much. When I get a hold of that, says God, and bring it forth to the fruition and the potential it's got, your little will become much, is what God is saying to us. The seed, though, the Bible says, must be sown. The seed must be planted in the ground, buried for a season, watered with the water of the washing of the word. It must have the light of God's Spirit shine upon that. It must become broken, and it must then release the life that is already in it to bring forth the apple tree in due time that brings forth hundreds and thousands of more apples and more seed and multiplies in due time. You might be right now looking at the enormous financial dilemmas you're in right now, how big that financial dilemma may be. And God is saying you've got to realize that big mountain of financial debt or financial problems can only be erased by learning to sow small seeds in faith in Jesus' name. Your marriage may be so on the rocks right now today, you might feel like getting divorced. God is saying there's already a seed inside your mouth, inside your mind, inside your heart that I want to release to bring a miracle and a turnaround for your marriage in Jesus' name. But you must believe a little seed can become much when placed in God's hand. The question this morning is, what can we sow What can we sow into God's kingdom, into God's work, out of our mouths to bring forth the big thing that brings forth the big results that God will bring forth in His timing and by His Spirit? God does not ask us for the shortfall we don't have. He asks us for what we already do have. Notice that Jesus Christ did not ask the disciples there, "I'm very, very disappointed in you guys. You only brought back 5 loaves and 2 fish for over 15,000 people. How can I feed this many people with 5 loaves and 2 fish? Christ does not talk like that. Jesus Christ takes the small thing He does have and uses that to bless multitudes in the situation in the Bible. And He's trying to show us a spiritual truth today that God can take little and make much with that when it's placed in His hands by His goodness and by His grace. We must realize that there is potential in the seed. Okay. When the disciples went out among the crowd and came back with 5 loaves and 2 fish, here's a problem. Those guys are out there. Only one little boy gave up what he had from his lunch that day. The truth is, there probably were hundreds of folks in that crowd that also had some food in their purses and their backpacks. They had some Ritz crackers. They had some gummy bears. Amen. They had some granola bars. They had some power drinks and Powerades. And those guys held on to their food, saying, "The need is so great. Why would I want to take and give to an overwhelming need like this, my little crumbs and bits of food I've got for snacks for lunch?" One little child obeys and gives in to the disciples' plea and gives them 5 loaves and 2 fish. All he's got to eat, he gives to them in faith. That's why Jesus says we must become like little children to inherit the kingdom of God. You got to start thinking outside the box. Start thinking with our own natural eyes and start seeing things the way that God does and seeing the big God behind the big requests that God makes of us, because God brings forth miracles from that. Do you realize our biggest, our most successful fundraiser in this church for youth camps and children's camps is the envelope campaign? We put out envelopes from number 1 or number 5 or number 10 to number 100 across this stairs here, because when people hear the need of $2,500 needed to send kids to youth camp, that becomes overwhelming to some folks. Some will say, "I'm just going to give nothing at all because that need is so great, I'll give nothing." But you put out some envelopes here with $5 and $10 and $15. Folks can pick up an envelope and have faith for that and give to that. And that raises more funds for us than anything we do throughout the entire year, because people are geared and wired that way sometimes. And God is saying to us, learn to be those who see the seed that God's already put inside your hand, though how small it may be, and that seed will and can bring forth much when done in obedience to God's command for us, in Jesus' name. Remember that man that came to our church a few years ago? His name was Walter Henderson, pastor of a large church in Milwaukee. This guy's marriage was on the rocks for years and years. And he said the Holy Spirit told him, no matter how much your wife is cursing you, yelling at you, slamming the door on you in a separate bedroom with from you, no matter what she's doing in a negative way there, I want you to start sowing flowers and breakfast in bed and kind words to her for the next 6 months. And 6 months he did that, and in 6 months God broke forth in her heart, changed her heart, and now they serve together in marriage conferences all over the world here, telling people how to have a strong and healthy marriage because of what God did in their marriage. God says there is something in your hand today. Can you see it, recognize that, and sow that in faith that God may use that for His glory? Amen. We tend to think of what we cannot do all the time as opposed to what we can do, and from that, our thoughts turn us towards doing nothing whatsoever because the need, again, is so overwhelming. I praise God for the Cochran family from Storehouse Ministries, Jack and Sandra Cochran. They work here in Pflugerville. They said about years and years back, about the year 2003, our first year of pastoring this church, they came to us and said, God has placed on our hearts a desire to feed the poor in Pflugerville. We only have a little bit of food, a little bit of money right now. We're working in a storage rental place here as managers here in Pflugerville. We have one place given to us to store the food in for free by the manager there. What can we do to get help to start this ministry? We drove them to Wichita, Kansas, 500 miles away, to a thriving food ministry there. They received instructions and details and outlines on how she set up a food ministry, and they brought that back here to Pflugerville and put that into operation. Now they're feeding tens of thousands of people every single month and year in this city. The same thing's true of the Masters over here. They have these folks as well. They're also serving folks. They said, 4,000 a month at least. Did you guys read a Masters back here? Is at least 4,000 a month now? 400 families every single week that they're serving now. They began with little things, began with small things. Richard and Loretta worked together here. And now there's 400 families a week being served, being fed, being cared for. They began with little things, and God gave them a big vision there. And they said, God, how can we do this? And God said, just begin with what you have in your hand today, and I will breathe on that, and I'll bring the people in there. I'll minister to them. I'll make sure the food will be there. And I can say over the years, for them and the Cochran's both, the needs have been met. There's been struggles. There's been pressures. There's been shortfalls sometimes for short seasons. But God has proved himself faithful for them and also proved himself faithful for you and I, because little can become much when placed in God's hands. Amen? Let's look now at Mark chapter 6, moving on to verse 44, where it goes on and says this. Again, it says, the number and those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000. Many translations say the number of the men who had eaten was 5,000 besides women and besides children. Notice the little boy was the one who gave the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he's among those who are not counted in the census. 5,000 men were there. One uncounted child gave the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What that tells you and I is God will normally take those that everybody discounts, everybody overlooks, nobody recognizes them. They don't have the same talents, the same money, same background, same pedigree, same whatever. They have much lack in their own lives. There's a little bitty boy, and God takes that little bitty obscure boy and blesses the food he gives and feeds the thousands of people as only he can do. That's what God normally will do. Amen? No matter what you think you lack today in education, in finances, in your gorgeousness or not, in whatever car you drive, job you've got, your background in life, that makes no difference to God. God takes the unqualified and makes him qualified. And those who discount themselves, God counts them. And God blesses what they give. And their little can become much. You believe that? So never say that you don't have this, don't have that. You've got all you need through Christ who strengthens you. Because God makes up your lack. God takes the ones who say, I'm not enough, and makes them more than enough by his Spirit. Amen? Maybe you've also gone through things that aren't so good in life. You've gone through abuse, perhaps, misunderstandings, hurts and bruises and wounds, and you have all kinds of broken things taking place. God can take all the bad, yucky things in your past and sew it into a spiritual tapestry of redemption and use all those bad experiences to actually help others out in the way God helps you. And what God sows into your life, God can release that through your life to folks around you and also heal them of things God's healed you of. Because what God does in you, God will also do in them. Amen? I've heard again God say in this prophetic words that came out to our church over the past couple of weeks, months, and so forth, that God is going to be sending broken people to us more and more. God is saying to us, healed broken people will heal broken people. Amen? So I hear God saying in my own mind and heart, healed broken people will heal broken people. Amen? Whatever God did in your life, God will multiply that, reproduce that, redeem that for the good for folks you come in contact with, even in churches like this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8 goes on and says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age, this talks about principalities, powers of darkness in this age. They didn't know this, it says. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If Satan had known what the crucifixion of Jesus Christ would do to hell, he would never have let him be crucified the way he was. If Satan had known what Joseph would become by getting him thrown into a prison, almost killed by his brothers, put in Pharaoh's court, being put in obscurity there, had he known God would take all those evil things done to Joseph and turn it all around to save the nation of Israel, who would have otherwise starved to death in that famine, he would never have touched Joseph. He would let him go ahead and be a spoilt brat, be a guy that has all the gold, all the great jackets on his back, and said, you go ahead and be about your merry way. Joseph, you're going to totally yourself bypass and abort God's best for your life. What Satan meant for evil, God turned that for the good. The same thing is true of Esther. Satan had known that Esther was actually there as a plant by God to save the entire nation of Israel. He would never have incited Haman to try to attack her and her uncle and kill them both and wipe out all the Jews. The whole thing turns back on their heads. Haman gets killed, family gets killed, and all his people get wiped out, and the Jews thrive from that day on. What Satan means for evil, God turns it somehow to the good. Look at David as well. If Satan had known that David was going to face the giant and actually kill him, and through that become king of Israel one day, and through that destroy hundreds of thousands of Philistines and evil nations around him, and write over 119 chapters in the Old Testament there, and sing songs of praise to God, we sing today in 2016, that actually defeats the powers of darkness through praise and through worship. If Satan had known all the things that David was going to do, he would have left him alone at age 10. Amen? But Satan does not know any better. He's totally insane. He's an insane genius who does things that are self-destructive in his own life. What I'm saying this morning is this. In your life today, maybe you feel like you're having all hell come against you somehow, some way. It may be a sign that Satan sees the threat you are against his kingdom. And what God is saying is, if you're here today, you're alive today, you're breathing today, you're still loving God today, that's all that God needs out of your life today. That's enough to turn your life around, conquer the powers of darkness, and get on yourself on the track that God has for your life to expand his kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen? You're alive, you're well, you're breathing, you love God, that's what God needs. You got your Bible, you've got your mind working here, you've got things God's placed inside your life and giftings. God's going to tap into those things and little will become much. I believe that in your lives. When we come together like this on a Sunday morning, I just praise God for getting people more and more that are coming forth with their giftings, their callings, they're breaking through intimidation barriers here. They're giving prophetic words or seeing things by the Spirit. They're blessing folks financially. They're doing things. They're acting out on the Word of God like Jack said this morning here as well, being not just hearers but being doers of the Word. And it brings forth great results. Amen. What I said to you guys last week was this. I said, on Satan's best day, he'll come on your worst day. And when in the midst of all of that, God will roll a stone away and bring forth God's supernatural day. So Satan will say in your life, this is my best day because it's your worst day. But on your worst day, God rolls a stone away and God brings forth a supernatural breakthrough on that day only he can bring forth. Amen? And I said last week, again, I said to take that stone that God rolls away, let it be a monument of praise and worship towards him, and realize now from that point forward, you're going to plunder the enemy and bring forth expansion to God's kingdom from that day forth in greater ways. Number two is this. Recognize number two, this. God does the impossible. God does the impossible. We see healings and miracles and signs and wonders as great things to be in awe with many times and praise God for them. But God sees those as simple, natural, or supernatural, normal things he does every day in his kingdom. God is not applauding and in awe of the miracles he does. It doesn't impress God by the power going through his life, because God says, that's who I am. That's what I do. And God is saying you must tap into who I am, because you're Christians, little Christ, and what Jesus Christ did, greater things than these shall you do, because I'm sending you out in Jesus' name with my power, my authority, my word, my anointing, my abilities. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world, is what God's saying to each one of us. Amen. The disciples show Jesus the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they let him know the obvious. They say, well, Jesus, you've blown it now. It's late in the day. The sun's going down. Starbucks is closed. Einstein Bakery's closed. Burger King's closed. McDonald's is closed. It's too late now to walk there. It's too dark. There's wolves out there, lions, tigers, and bears, oh my. What are you going to do, Jesus? These guys are hungry. You've been talking like you always do. And now it's about 8 o'clock at night. These guys are starving, and it's cold, and it's dark. What are you going to do? And Jesus is very calmly answers back to them and says, watch what I do in my Father's name. Jesus is showing them how much they can accomplish in their own strength, that he might then show them what he can accomplish with God's strength working through them. He's showing them, this is what you guys can accomplish in your might and your power. You can get 5 loaves and 2 fish out of 15,000 people. That's what you can do. Let me show you now what God can do with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Sometimes we make the mistake of saying we need a miracle, though. And the fact is, God is saying to us, you need, first of all, do some natural things yourself to get some things in order. Amen? God is saying maybe it's time to start eating right, exercising more. Don't spend more than you make in your finances. Don't yell so much at your spouse. Try to wake up in the morning, like Cheryl's saying here, like I do, hopefully, sometimes, singing, happy, choosing to say, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in this day, every day, amen. God is saying sometimes you don't need a miracle. You need an attitude change. You need a discipline change. And do some things in the natural realm differently to bring forth better results in your life, okay? Sometimes that's not enough. And that's when God needs or must show up to bring a miracle. And God will bring miracles when you cannot do what only God can do, okay? So we need to realize that God isn't made in our image. We are made in God's image. We're made in God's likeness. So God does not do things the way we do things. God does things the way God does things. God does things to bring the biggest bang for his buck. He'll let things get right to the very end of human tolerance and say, okay, you've had enough? All right, I'm going to show up now, strong and mighty. When you're weak, I'm strong. Amen? And so Jesus waits till the very, very last minute there. He shows up, 5 loaves, 2 fish. Multiplies them, feeds up to 15,000 people that day. So number three is this. Order and structure facilitate the miracles. Very, very important to write that down and realize this. Order and structure facilitates the miracles. Mark chapter 6, let's read verse 39 and 40, goes on and says, then Jesus commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sit down in ranks, in hundreds, and in 50s. Now you realize how long it took to do that. You're talking about up to 15,000 people. They're counting off 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 50. There's one group. Next group. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 50. On and on and on. Hundreds and 50s. Took time to do that. But Jesus Christ is making a point here saying it's important to get order first before I start pouring out miracles upon the people. You know, God could have just snapped his finger and caused it to rain down bread and fish in their mouths like a seal, like a trained seal. You guys, open your mouths up. I'm going to fill your mouths up. Here comes the bread. Here comes the fish. Open your mouths up. Open your hands up. Here it all pours down on all of you guys. God could have done that. But if God had done that, it would not have allowed the 12 disciples who would have birthed the early New Testament church to serve the people in order, in ranks, one at a time. Matthew served one group. Bartholomew serves another group. Matthias serves another group. Peter serves another group. John serves another group. What Christ is doing there is saying, I'm setting you guys up for New Testament church order. You may not like Peter a whole lot, but guess what? Peter is your pastor. He's going to serve you the food this day. Will you receive that from him? Amen? We all want God and Jesus to do all the work for us. And God says, I've set up my delegated authorities who work together in ranks and in order to bring forth a place for the miracles of God to show up and be released among us in God's goodness and grace. Amen. Let's read now 1 Corinthians 14:40, where it says this. Everything should be done, notice that, everything should be done but be done in a proper or a decent and an orderly way. It took time to build structure, but it facilitates the miracle so that all people had equal access to the loaves and the fishes that were actually broken that day, multiplied by Jesus Christ himself. What God is saying to us here in churches like Tree of Life Church and beyond this, there needs to be some kind of structure and order in our services. Amen? For example, we cannot have one person come to the front and spend 35 minutes every service on migraine headaches, sing songs about migraine headaches, discern migraine headaches, prophesy about migraine headaches, get verses here about migraine headaches. This guy over here, this one guy, Joe Blow, is getting ministered to and getting helped out by migraine headaches. What about Jesse Carl over here? This guy needs help to get his own counsel there for next day's workplace. This guy's for 35 minutes hearing about migraine headaches. And someone over here, perhaps, maybe Lucero over here, this AD says, I'm hearing 35 minutes now about migraine headaches. I need to hear about how to get my own dog straightened up here. He's acting real weird around the house, so I need to receive something about him this day in the service. We all need to receive something from God in the services. Amen? And I'm saying it's good to go ahead and take time for migraine headache, Joe Blow. It's good to do that, but not the entire service, okay? So that's why God is telling us here, do everything. Everything should be done, but done decently and in order. That's why the Bible says very plainly, when somebody prophesies, let two or three prophesy, then stop with that perhaps. If a tongue comes forth, interpret that tongue. Make sure it takes place here. God gives order for the New Testament church in very strict detail in the Bible. And the main thing is, though, God said, let everything be done. We want to see things being done in Tree of Life Church. Amen. We want to see miracles. We want to see signs, wonders, healings, deliverance, salvations. All things take place, but all things need to be done decently and in order. That's what Christ does here in the feeding of up to 15,000 people. So, we got a lot of people who have gotten out of order, and they're doing their own thing in the body of Christ. They finally quit churches like this and actually form little groups and little home churches there. And unfortunately, what happens there is many times they serve their own gifting and quit serving the Lord. Their gifting becomes their God. Their anointing becomes their Savior. What they do for God becomes God. And God says, no, I am God. And the first thing God did was God tells Jesus Christ to get the disciples trained for 3.5 years to plant local churches. And through local churches, the apostles' teaching and doctrine goes out, and there comes things done decently and in order. And all things are done, but they're done decently and in order. Amen? You see that? So I'm saying again, do be those who prophesy. Do be those who get words of knowledge. Do be those who pray for folks like Joanne Lucero this morning here. But I'm saying we can't always take 45 minutes for one person every service here, because there's many things to touch in a given service. Amen? Maybe sometimes God will do that one time, but it's not going to be the norm. It'll be the exception. So moving on here. From Genesis to Revelation, God is a God of order and structure and timing. In the entire Bible, God is that. Do you see that? They said about Jesus, he does everything well. That's what we want in the church. Amen? Number four, last of all, is it? Number four is this. Give thanks for what we have. You must recognize what you've got and be those who give thanks for what you have. Mark 6:41 goes on and says, when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looks up to heaven, he blesses and he breaks the loaves, he gives thanks for those loaves and fish, and he gives them to the disciples to set before the people, and the 2 fish he divides among them all. Notice that Jesus gave thanks for and blessed what was never going to be enough. You catch that? He blessed and thanked God for what would never be enough to feed the people. And God is saying to you and I today, what do we do ourselves with our not enough? I encourage you guys to start watching our mouths, my mouth, your mouths, more and more. And stop cursing what is not enough. And start blessing and thanking like Jesus did what is not enough. Stop saying things like, I am so sick and tired, I cannot stand our marriage. I can't stand this car. I can't stand the place I work at. I can't stand Austin, Texas, all this traffic and folks that are cutting in front of me all the time here. I can't stand this church. This pastor just talks way too much. I can't stand the worship time. The songs are just driving me crazy here. God is saying to us, we need to stop cursing what we think is not enough and start blessing what we know or think is not enough. Amen? You catch that? Because what Jesus Christ did, he took what was not enough, by far not enough. He gave thanks for it, and he blessed it. And through that, God multiplied it, and God brought the increase. If you think that Pastor Mike Johnson is not enough in some way, don't curse me. Don't say to your spouse and family members, Mike Johnson is not enough. We need more. Don't curse me. Start speaking blessings on me. Pastor Mike Johnson is anointed by God. He's receiving divine revelation, receiving a fresh anointing. God's wisdom, God's grace, God's favor is on him. I believe for good things for him and his family there. Start blessing what you think is not enough. And God will make it more than enough in due time. Amen? Can you see that? We are so many times we are cursing our spouse and our kids and our finances and our job and our city and all things around us saying it is not enough. In the natural realm, you're totally right. It is not enough. Bless it. Give thanks for it. Put it in God's hands. He will break it, multiply it. It'll become more than enough in due time. Hope you catch that. Okay. One of the reasons the Israelites only had manna for 40 years in the wilderness is because they cursed the manna. They kept on telling God, this manna, this is not enough. In Egypt, we had leeks and onions and garlics and all kind of good things. Total lie. Because they had the slop and the pigs, what they had, really. But they said, God, this is not enough. And so God never gave them more than their manna for 40 years, besides a few little times of some quail here and there. If they just realized that God is a God of Elijah, who received the delicacies of Ahab's house by a black raven at the book Cherith. That same God that fed Elijah could feed them caviar, filet mignon, lamb over the spit. They just would have said, God, I thank you and praise you, O God, for the manna you give me every day. I love this food. I bless this food. I give thanks for the manna every day. They would have seen God bring them other things because God does that because God is like that. Amen? But if you curse your manna, manna is all you'll get in your lives. I want more than manna. Amen? I'm not going to curse my manna. I'm going to bless my manna every day. And God will increase that manna in new things as time goes by. Okay? So, all of us have seen things broken in our lives because the Bible says that Jesus then blessed it, then he broke it. We've all seen things broken in our lives. Our broken hearts, broken marriage, broken relationships, broken job, broken finances. Jesus takes the broken things, blesses them, thanks God for them, and distributes them among the people, and it multiplies because it is broken. We may find ourselves, may think of ourselves, I'm disqualified for my broken pieces in my life, but God says those broken pieces in God's hands will produce much as only God can do. And we'll just take and put our brokenness in God's hands. The redeeming God will see that nothing broken in our lives will go to waste. It'll all be used for the glory of his kingdom. As our praise team goes back to the platform for a moment at the end of the service here, I want to give you one more important point here at the end of this message from Mark chapter 6. It goes on and says, Jesus told the disciples, go out among the crowds now and pick up all the fragments of the 5 loaves and 2 fish that fed the multitudes this day. And the Bible says they went out there and they gathered how much? 12 basketfuls of fragments, fish heads, fish tails, fins, dorsals, pieces of crumbs, crust, all the crusty parts of the bread. They'd thrown those things down, discarded those fragments. They got all the fragments together, and they equaled 12 basketfuls for 12 disciples. And then Jesus does what? He says, now you disciples, I'm tired. I'm going to go to a mountain by myself. I'm going to pray because I've had the biggest breakthrough of my life take place right now. My first big mass miracle took place right now. I'm tired. I'm going to go to a mountain by myself. I'm going to pray. You guys go ahead of me in a boat across the Sea of Galilee to the other side. We all know the story goes on and says a freak storm comes up. Could have been Satan, could have been God allowing this. And their boat's about to be swamped, but in their boat is 12 basketfuls, sacks full of fragments of a miracle. And what God was saying to them was this: quit looking at the storm around you and start looking at the miracle I just did in your life. Have I not broken through for you in times past, paid your bills, taken care of your car, your kids, your family, your marriage, protected you time and time again? Look down at the fragments of past miracles. Quit looking at the storms around you. Then Jesus Christ comes walking on the water, disguised from them, and it says they totally shook with fear, thinking a ghost, a demon, was coming to them. They're now seeing a new facet of God, a Jesus who walks on water in the clouds. Jesus Christ is in the boat and calms the storm and calms the waves and gives them words of comfort and words of grace and words of protection. But he says, I'm not just the God who multiplies the 5 loaves and 2 fish to fill bellies. I'm also the God who conquers the powers of darkness when storms in your life take place in the future as well. Look at the thing I placed in your boat, says God, the thing in your hands. Let it remind you of my goodness, my faithfulness, my power, and my might in times of storms in your life. This morning, today, I want to ask you this morning, can you take and think about a basket, a sack full of fragments, of remnants in your memories, of your mind, of what God has done for you in times past to draw on today when storms are facing your life? Let's bow our head and close our eyes right now this morning. We're going to pray. Give thanks to God this day that He is a God who says that in your hands there's enough to produce a miracle when it's placed in my hands. The question this morning is, what is in your hand? There's a miracle in our hand. It's time this morning again to recognize the seed does not look like much, perhaps, but it's the seed that God made. God does the impossible. Order and structure facilitates the miracle. It's important to give thanks for what we have, not what we don't have. And bless what is not enough, because it will become enough and more than enough when it's placed in the Master's hand, my thanksgiving and praise. Father, I pray, O Lord, this day that your Spirit, God, is talking to us this message here, what is in our hand, to bring forth, O God, your presence. When your presence, O God, is here among us like it was today, like it is those times you always come together, O God, and praise your name, worship you. Your presence is always here among us. We give praise and thanks, O God, for that. I pray, Lord, this day that you'll find us being people that are contrite, that are humble. Father, forgive us. There's been times in our lives we've taken curse. The thing we think is not enough. Whether it be our husband, our wife, our finances, our job, our city, our church, our pastor, the worship team, whatever it may be around us. Those things we're cursing and saying, it's not enough. It's not enough. Let us, O God, be those who turn that around and say, it is more than enough. Because I give thanks, O God, I give praise this day that your seed, O God, is in that thing. You birthed it, O God, by your Spirit. And what you birth, and what you ordain, O God, is a seed that shall be breathed on when it becomes broken in your hands. And so, Father, I pray, O God, this day, let's pray together this day. Father, break my heart for what breaks yours. Help me, God, be a person who lives in thanksgiving. Help me also, God, to see in my household what is already in my hand to bring forth the miracle I need in my life. In Jesus' name. Open my eyes, O God. Open my ears in the name of Jesus to bring forth those things. It'll bring forth, O God, your desires upon this earth. We praise you, God, and thank you for these things, Father. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. At the end of the service here this morning, we're going to let Jack hear some things you want to share at the end of the service today. I'll come back and say some few ending things after that as well. But just go ahead and just bring forth what it may be. We'll kind of go from there.
Hallelujah. I wanted to share for just a minute. I serve on the financial committee here at the church, so consequently that means I know about all the finances. Okay? met a little girl one time I want to tell you about that her heart just pure pattered for God. That's all she wanted to do was serve the living God. Thought was on her mind. What can I do to benefit God's kingdom? That little girl that I'm talking about is Kristen Johnson. Everything she does is to build the kingdom of God. That's how her heart works. That's how she thinks. That's how she breathes. And that's what Mother's Day Out is all about. It is not about Kristen. It's not about doing something besides the church. It's about she saw a need that the church is still struggling some financially, and she said in her prayer time, how can I help? And this is what came to her, this Mother's Day Out program, okay? To assist the church in the finances. That's the whole purpose of it. And so I'm telling you the story. Nobody's told me this. They didn't know I was going to share this. Nobody knew I was going to share this. Just me and the Holy Ghost worked this up. I'm going to be here Saturday at 7 p.m. to devote 1 hour of intense prayer for that purpose only. So if you want to come, I will be here. It's a get to, it's not a got to. So if you want to come and support that endeavor, I would love to have you. And if this touches your heart at all and you think, hey, I can help Kristen in some way, ask Kristen, is there something I can do to help benefit this program that's fixing to kick off? Okay? So next Saturday at 7, if you want to come, I'll be here to pray. Thanks.
Yeah, I want to say thanks to those who came this past 2 days. We had 4 or 5 volunteers that helped out for several hours getting the rooms ready back there for Mother's Day Out program. They've got a few children already signed up. So again, get the word out to folks you know that may have children that are ages, 6 months old, clear up to about almost five years old, and they can be involved on Tuesdays and Thursdays, a babysitting type program here with also some Christian godly things being given to those children to do with that. Appreciate Jack saying that. You might want to get the Christian too. If you want to ever volunteer in a natural realm to help out with your hands, there's still things to be done to get ready for this, but they've made a big dent already. So thank God for all those folks that's helped us out. And what's that? For Academy? Oh, the Canopy, yes. We're still putting money aside for the Canopy. We're about $900 in towards the Canopy being replaced back there. A need for $2,000 is there total. So we need about $1,000 more. Just keep on thinking about giving above and beyond the tithes towards that little by little. The $5, $10, all those things can help out the next few weeks as well, okay? So God bless you for that. This coming Wednesday night, we're going to be teaching here the third part about Moses. There were some good truths that were shared. I know this last Wednesday night that blessed those that were here. If you can be here Wednesday night, do be here for that. That would be a help and blessing as well. And let's go ahead and just let's have a brother here. And what's your name again? Your first name is Wilson. That's actually Patrick. So Patrick, go ahead and just share and give us a dismissal prayer if you do that as well. I need to see you, Patrick, after the service as well about a signature thing, so remind me. Good to see Patrick and Lisa. God bless you, folks.
Amen. I didn't know you were going to call me, but I just want to share that this morning when I was kind of briefly praying, and this is a word that I got, that I have all that I have what it takes, and it takes what I have. Just two lines. Sounds like a cliche, but I wrote it down. I'll show you. So your message was right in line with what God was telling me. So we have what it takes. Since He's given us all that it pertains to life and godliness. God has given us. So thank you very much for allowing the Holy Spirit to use you. Thank you, Jesus, for this morning. Thank you for the message that came across, Father Lord. You spoke to our hearts. We thank you for what you've given us. We look, Father Lord, to you who has given us everything. You give us your Son. You give us your Holy Spirit who gives us wisdom, counsel every day, how to walk, how to please you. Because without faith, it is impossible to please you. And you said the just, the righteous man, when we are all righteous because of Jesus, we shall live by faith. So cause us to walk in faith this day, this week, this month, for the rest of our lives.